And so I turned off, like, my phone and, like, do not disturb or other. And I was like, you know, the water was running already. And I'm like, okay, once you do this, there's no more pain. You don't have to deal with this BS. You don't have to feel like you're a failure. And you don't have to, you know, you don't have to, like, deal with this shit anymore. Forgive my language. But that's how I felt. I was like, nah, no, you know what? I can't. And so I decided to look at my phone one last time.
I am Daniel Itomi, your host, and welcome to the 20-something Experience podcast, where we listen and learn from the lives and experiences of young adults across the world.
Hey guys, we're back again with another episode of the 20-something Experience podcast. Hope you guys have been good. I know I've been gone for a while, but I'm back. Hopefully I won't be gone for another month before I release another episode. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at the 20-something EXP. And today I've got a wonderful guest here today to speak about mental health. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Wanjiro Karanja, and I am a technical online friend of Daniel's. And I am also in the UK. I'm the founder of an organization called Clear Minds, Better Lives. And I am a mental health advocate. I'm a Black and women's rights advocate. I am a board of trustees to some small organizations back home in Kenya. I was born in Kenya, and I'm happy to be here to talk about mental health because that is my purpose in life, to have the awareness and to work towards ending the stigma and to making sure that all Black people are getting the services that they need to access free mental health care.
Yeah, I love that. I didn't know you were like on your board of directors. That's really
A couple of my friends hit me up and they were like, "We want you to be board of director to this." And I was like, "All right, then I'm a trustee to another organization." Oh, wow. They're in the works, so I can't release too much information.
Yeah, understandably.
But you know, I'm excited. I'm always excited when someone wants me to pay forward and help. And you know, I'm still building CMBL, so it's really, really cool that people think that I have a voice or they want me to be part of their, you know, their work, and that means a lot to me. So I appreciate that, and thank you for having me too.
It's really good having you. I think for you guys that don't know her, I heard her on the Mama Africa podcast. Mm-hmm. And you spoke about mental health, you spoke about your personal stories, and I was just like, wow, like you were so vivid. And you were so upfront. You didn't even like mince your words, because typically when I'm speaking, I like, if I'm telling a story about myself, I'll give like 50%. Then the others, I'm like, I'll leave that for my close friends. I was like, oh my God. I messaged one of the hosts and I was like, oh my days, like, who's this? Like, she's so upfront. Like, nothing was minced. Nothing was nothing was sugar coated. Everything was just kind of direct as it was. And it's really crazy. And before this episode, I was watching, I don't know whether you know the Joe Rogan, I think, Experience or podcast. I'm not sure what it's called.
Yes, Joe Rogan.
And he had, I think, a mental health expert, I think it was a doctor. And he was speaking about, like, people that say, like, he was speaking specifically on depression. And they're talking down on, like, doctors that say that depression is a chemical imbalance. And that the WHO basically explains, this is mental health anyway, explains mental health as it's a social indicator. It has social causes and needs social solutions as well as individual ones. And for people that don't know what social causes are, that's like typical divorce, relationship, heartbreak, financial instability, which is actually one of the main risk factors for any mental health issues people have. But for you personally, like, what is your own, or how does mental health affect you, like, every day?
It's funny that you bring up the definition of mental health first. I think the definition of mental health and depression are two different things, because depression falls under mental health because your state of mind can be depressed, right?
Yeah.
So to begin on what mental health is, as defined by WHO, it's the well-being of your mind. It's the state of your mind. It's the state of your mood, right? And I think we are both Africans, and you know, of African descent. We were born, obviously. I don't know if you were born here or back home, but
in Nigeria, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So I didn't want to see that, but
yeah.
The reason I bring that up is because mental health seems like a psycho issue, right? I use psycho in parentheses because they think you're mad, they think you're crazy, like you're not up to par. And when you look at mental health, it has nothing to do with you being crazy or incompetent or you know, not of right mind. It just means that sometimes you have bad days, and those bad days can be extreme, such as depression,
yeah,
anxiety, ADHD, bipolar, a lot of things. Now, I know people who have ADHD who are one of the smartest people on the planet. Like, your attention deficit disorder is more of like, how much can you concentrate on things, you know? So that doesn't mean that you're not okay. And so when it comes to mental health, we all need to realize that we have mental health. You know, I'm sure, Daniel, you have bad days. There are days you don't even want to be bothered.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, even as a founder of a nonprofit and getting to know so many people, I am at the point whereby I just seek therapy again because I'm like, I cannot do this anymore. Because a lot of people have access to me and I have a lot of access to people, but I always feel responsible for holding my connections. And sometimes I've realized you have to balance life, work, and your personal life. And so I'm trying to learn that. So we all have to recognize that we have bad days, we have good days, we have off days, we have days where we want to do nothing. And society told us we have to want to thrive and survive every single day. And unfortunately, life doesn't work like that.
You know,
even with Africa, how religion is a pure driving force to our day-to-day lives. When you look at the life of Jesus, he rested. Like,
exactly.
If bro rested, you can't tell me nothing. Like, you know, I'm one of those people who I'm like, you know, I don't attend church frequently, just because, you know, I'm from the States and racism is big, and I don't know if we're going to cover that on this conversation, but
yeah,
I feel like I try to do what would Jesus do, in the sense of like, when people try to bring him up, I'm like, bruh, he rested, so you can't tell me. And the same thing here. So when everyone is universally saying, hey, take a break, take a day, take a few hours, it's okay to do that. Like, we're not meant to thrive and survive every single day, 24/7, 365. That is not who we are. We're human beings, and the human condition is much, much more complicated than we make it out to be. So mental health for me is a healthy state of mind, knowing what I can handle and can't handle in that present moment. I have a calendar set out. I have days set out of what I'll do, but some of those days may end up being me not doing a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just life. So that's what mental health is. Now, when you bring up depression is a form of mental health and is also seen as a mental illness, which is why they bring up the imbalance, you know, chemicals in your brain. But if you want a simpler term, there's a book called Can I curse on this podcast?
Yeah, feel free.
Okay. How to Unfuck Your Brain. We're actually going to have her as a guest on Clear Minds Better Lives this month, as we highlight women. And it talks about the brain and the heart and what takes you to those places, to those dark places. So yes, there's an illness part of it where people need medicine for it. But also, I don't know how I personally feel about medicine all the time, because I'm sure we're going to talk about my personal experiences.
And yeah,
I've never really been on meds, but yeah. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think it also brings us to another good point where I think mental health, it doesn't have a face. I think people, lots of the times, always wonder, especially in like third world countries where it's not as much of a thing. And it's picking up now with the emergence of like social media and so on and so forth. But people say that, oh, like, I think Robin Williams and what's his name? The lead singer of Linkin Park, when they committed suicide, it's like, whoa, like they were happy. And obviously these are like fans that know nothing about what goes on in their lives. But it leads me to the point where people kind of akin or relate or equate your success with your happiness or with your mental state. And it's like, and it kind of brought me to kind of like, there was this juxtaposition where you say you have everything you possibly want, But what you have is by the standards of society. So you're in a situation where you don't actually have what you want because what's going on in your life. And you find out that you're working really hard, you're putting in all the hours, you're making all the money, but certain things are missing. And it could be as simple, well, I say simple in inverted commas, but it could be as simple as having a loving relationship with your spouse, with your kids, you're just kind of like you said, you don't rest, you're just kind of on it, so on and so forth. And you think when you attain the kids, or you attain the nice car or the nice house, you've reached a successful point, but that doesn't equate to happiness. And I think people need to understand that, because even us in society, when we try to kind of like, okay, we're more informed, we know that, oh, don't look at others, don't compare ourselves. When if you ask me immediately, oh, what do you want? Like, what do you think would make you happy? Like, my first thoughts might be like, oh shit, like this apartment that I really wanted, or this phone I really want. And it's like, you have to kind of hold up and realize that is not synonymous with your happiness. It's not synonymous with your mental state, because people can have the best families, the best cars, the nicest everything, but still be depressed, but still have anxiety, and still have ADHD, and still have schizophrenia. You know, it has no face.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up. There's so much to unpack. First of all, you said what would make me happy right now, and I thought of myself, and I'm like, a good bowl of ice cream. Because damn, like, and don't get me wrong, I love the finer things in life. Yeah. Everyone does. We're all thriving and working to a finer life, right? So first of all, let's talk about inner happiness, right? Inner happiness is the contentment of your heart, no matter what's going on. And that is a hard thing to attain. That is one of the most difficult things to achieve, because human beings are not taught that. I think with Christianity, we're easily told, hey, you just gotta pray and it's all gonna be fine, right?
Yeah.
Or even for people who may not believe in, you know, believe, they're like, it's gonna be fine. Just hope, right? But it actually takes work to get there. The thing about the human condition and the thing about humanity, you have to work towards being a human being. Like, that sounds exhausting. Just even as I say it, because I'm thinking about it and I'm like, you know, I look at myself now and I thought, last year, man, I had done so much growth, and then something just happened to me in a few months, Daniel, and I was like, damn, I haven't dealt with my traumas. And I'm like, crap, I still have to keep working at this. But this is to say that you can be rich all you want, but there's something called inner happiness. Now, inner happiness is something that can be really hard to attain when you come from a society that tells you money is success. That's the number one hindrance, because no one is going to understand that. Throughout my life, when I was especially depressed in college, or even like last year, I fell under really huge depression. A lot of people were like, Shiro, you have, Shiro is my, like, the nickname to endure.
Yeah.
And people are like, you have a great life. You know, you have your parents, you're going to London, like, you have an organization, you're doing these things. And it's like, Shiro is a perfectionist. And I don't feel like shit is perfect right now. I feel like I am drowning. I feel like I'm 28 and I don't know why the heck I'm doing any of the things that I'm doing, because I'm not where I was supposed to be. Because I grew up being told I'd go to school, succeed, get married, have children, right? My mom had me at 24. She had my sister at like 27. So she already had kids. So the African society is harsh towards us growing up, because you're given this view of life and then religion on top of that. So you really, no one is helping you figure out, excuse me, who you are, because it's already been figured out for you because of how society was set up. Now, this society was set up through the minds of colonization. And then I live in a Western world, and guess what? Suicide rates and mental health are just as bad,
if
not worse, right? So people have to unlearn a lot of things. And that includes myself. I'm constantly trying to unlearn. You have to unlearn the things that society told you were okay. And you have to be okay with that. And that's a messy, messy part of growing up. Because change is so difficult for the human condition. Because comfortability is one of the most amazing things that we have, right? Like, I'm in the UK right now, and there's some comforts, like Target. I miss Target and Walmart so much. And I'm like, they don't have what they, you know what I mean? Because no one's comfortable with change. But in order to thrive, or in order to access new worlds, right, we have to be able to change and assimilate to our the environment around us, right? So I'm okay going to Sainsbury and Tesco now. I'm used to it. that doesn't take away the fact that I had comfort, right? But it's a new type of comfort. I have to make this my comfort because of the cards that I'm dealt with. Now, life is different because you're going to be dealt different cards every day. You know that. We're adults. 20-somethings, we're adults, right? And you're dealing with relationships. You're dealing with your parents. If you have siblings, you're dealing with that. If you have a job, you're dealing with that. And if you're in school, you're dealing with that. So you're not only dealing with a relationship with yourself, but you're dealing with other people who think differently from you, who some of them want the best of you for you. Some of them, you don't even know if they want the best of, for you. Some of them don't care. They're just like, I'm here to inform you and educate you. You know what I mean?
And yeah,
it becomes mentally draining and overwhelming for people. And that's why, even as rich people, when you look at Anthony Bourdain, was one of my favorite people. He used to go around and travel. He had this cooking, I don't know what the show was. It was like a really, it was a food show, and he traveled all around the world, but he was found in Paris and he killed himself.
Yeah.
And he was very wealthy, but it's like, he had a divorce. He wouldn't see his kids much, but it's like, human beings love love. Like, we all want to feel love.
Yep.
We all want to feel accepted. And you may have money, but someone accepting me for the monetary things, that's not okay. It doesn't, it's really not. You know, one of my best friends, he, you know, he sees things in a different light. And I understand he grew up in Kenya for a longer period of time when he was an adult, but he sees things very differently. And I'm like, it's going to take you a while to get to the place where I'm at, because mentally, at some point, the Western world gets to you. And I will say, now, bringing the coming full circle with mental health, all those things that I've given an example to, I'll use myself as an example, right? I have everything. People assume I have everything. But there are those expectations we set for ourselves that we want to achieve at a certain age.
Yep.
I will tell you right now, kids are not a factor for me. This world is so messed up. I don't want to be a mom to anyone right now. It's crazy. I know it's first of all, people are gonna be like, what? But it's the truth. My parents know it, so my parents are okay with it. I'm always like, as long as mom and dad are fine with it, that I don't care about anyone else. I don't care for a husband right now, and I'm 29. I don't care for a husband, not because I don't want a husband, not because I don't want a child. I grew up wanting to be a mother, but I realized something is that, like, those people will never define my happiness.
Mm-hmm.
They add value to me, right? A partner and a child adds value. Now, the society I grew up in, it's all about, you know, generations and all that stuff. And you know, because when you're married, you seem deemable by society. You're accepted more by society, right?
Yeah.
How can you be 40 and not married? Something's wrong with you. But to me, even if I was with someone right now, I'm very much like, I'm my own lady. Like, You're just coming to add happiness to me because you have a life outside of me. So for me, the expectations I set for myself were to always succeed. A lot of people would tell me that I do great things their way. That's also another thing.
Exactly.
People will go, oh, Daniel, you're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a great doctor. This is my son. You know, I know how to do it in Nigeria. But what if you want to be a musician?
Yep.
What if you want to be a carpenter? Now, I won't deny that money is a huge play to what we want in life. But I think I've always been very, very much of the idea of contentment. Irrespective of whether I have money or not, I think my soul has always been searching for something further and deeper that can help the human race. And I didn't think CMBL would be, I didn't think I'd be doing this. I always imagined I'd be feeding the hungry somewhere or working with the United Nations. I didn't think I'd be running my own foundation. And my mental health, to just backtrack to that. Before I got to that place, I've tried to take my life multiple times, at least 10 times. I have survived those. I have been depressed multiple times. And even
like,
now...
Like, you've been, like, clinically diagnosed?
No. I've gone to a clinic before, and he was like, you're depressed. But he didn't give me medicine, because he was just like, your right might sound. It's like deep depression. It's one of those like depressions whereby like medicine wouldn't help me really, because I don't fall into depression whereby I stopped functioning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even as we have this conversation, I'll be very, very honest. I'm going through a lot right now. I'm not depressed, but I'm going through it. Hence why I told you I'm in the process of seeing a therapist. But
yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm not doing my day-to-days. Like, I'm waking up, I'm running in the morning if I can, if the weather in England isn't lying to me. I'm eating, you know, I'm doing the day-to-day, I'm doing my master's program. Like, I'm trying to function, right? But that doesn't, when I'm fully, fully depressed, there are days that, like, I'm not going to eat. I don't want to talk to anyone. Like, I'm like, leave me alone. And those times I never used to ask for help. I wanted to wallow in it. And let me tell you, everyone will do that, who goes through depression will go through that phase.
Yeah.
And I was, so have I been clinically diagnosed? Yes. But the psychologists and psychiatrists have always been like, you don't need medicine. And that's why I say you have to see a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a therapist, because they have to decide for you what's best for you. With me, it's always been therapy, different types of therapy, right? But for me, I also had to realize what's making me do this. Like, what are my triggers, right? What is making me get here? And like it or not, those are things you have to learn about yourself. But I think that when you're in your 20s, it's hard to figure that out. And that's why I always encourage people to go see a therapist, because a therapist doesn't tell you what to do with your life. If anything, they help you figure things out.
Yeah, definitely. I recommend therapy as well. Personally, I have never been to a therapy session, but it's something that I would definitely like do, like, once, because I like, yeah, once like the opportunity and all of that comes in, like, something I would definitely do, just because at the very least it gives you a better understanding of why you are the way you are, or you do the things you do, and that's like, it will be really invaluable. But before we continue, I have a very I don't know whether it's invasive, but I feel like
there's nothing ever invasive with me, Daniel. Never ever.
Okay, that's good.
I have nothing to hide.
Yeah. That's good, because I feel like a lot of people are like quietly going through a lot, and it's edging. It's like going through a lot, then it edges to the point where it's like you're getting to like the red zone of the spectrum of like your mental health. Mm. And it's like, for you, in terms of, you said you tried committing suicide 10 times, right?
Yeah, at least 10 times.
At least 10 times. So what, because I know a lot of people would be able to relate, is what were your thoughts just before, and what were your thoughts after?
Great question. Okay, I will talk about the last time I tried to attempt suicide, 2018 October. Now, I had just actually buried a childhood friend from suicide. He'd hung himself a month prior. And I was going through a lot personally. As far as like finances and job and things like that. And I didn't think things were going to get better. So I ran the bathtub. And I texted a friend and I was like, I love you so much, but I don't think I can do this anymore, because he'd known I wasn't okay. And so I turned off like my phone and like do not disturb or other. and I was like, you know, the water was running already. And I'm like, okay, once you do this, there's no more pain. You don't have to deal with this BS. You don't have to feel like you're a failure. And you don't have to, you know, you don't have to like deal with this shit anymore. Forgive my language. But that's how I felt. I was like, nah, no, you know what? I can't. And so I decided to look at my phone one last time before I entered the water, and I saw a text from my friend, and he said, it was a really, really sweet message. It was long, and I don't remember it all, but he said, you can't afford to put me through this pain. We just buried one of my friends, and there's no way you're gonna leave me. And in that moment, I had a flash of, like, the good times in my life and the good times with this friend. He's like my little brother. We grew up together. And I cried. I literally sat there and cried. I think hours and hours passed. At this point, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd been in the bathtub at like 10:45. So I was crying for 3 hours on end. And I cried and I cried, and I called my parents, and I was like, I want to come home now. Of which they were like, fine. But that's, I didn't have a thought after that. I didn't think about it. I went through a lot. I was depressed for a lot of time. I got hired for this great corporate job. I was like, I don't want to be here. Quit the next day. I went through a lot of changes. And I look back at that time and I'm like, now I'm glad it didn't happen. But in that moment, I think to anyone listening this, in the moment of you're done, it's valid. It's valid for you. And I know it's easy to say, whoa, that was selfish of you, Shiro. Like, you were not thinking about us. But what is the thing with life, Daniel? We're adults now. Do you really think our parents can make things better for us? Like, they can't, like, they can only do so much, right? Like, your friends, your siblings.
Yeah.
Your therapist, like, they can only do so much. And the thing with the book I told you about by Dr. Harper, Unfuck Your Brain, it tells you purposefully what is happening to you when you're thinking of committing suicide. Literally, like, the emotions, you have overwhelmed your heart so much that your heart has communicated with the brain. And they're like, the brain is like, okay, we can try and hold on for a while. Because, you know, your brain is divided into, I think, is it four parts? I don't know. But there's a specific part of your brain that is the last one to decide. Like, that's the last place of your brain to decide, hey, it is time. It is time to go. And once that part actually says yes, you do end up killing yourself. Like, there's no turning back. And so there's a lot of communication happening with your body. I mean, not just your heart. Like, I mean, your heart controls your emotions, but, like, your level of eating. So, like, your digestive system is also communicating with your heart and your brain. It's like, we're not getting enough food. What is going on? So they check in with the heart. Like, what's up? Like, how are we feeling? All those things, like, connect. When we're talking about mental health and physical and spiritual health, it's a thing. Like,
yeah,
this three things, this pillars of connectivity, they're so in deep ingrained in you that when you fuck one up, leave the other one behind, then eventually at some point you will get effed. And that's why people survive by being unhappy, because also society has told you, bro, mask it. Okay, mask all of that. Mask it. Don't talk about it. Don't do anything. Don't deal with it. Go drink it off. Go smoke it off. Go have sex, you know, whatever. Sex, you know, dry it off. Like, do all these things that are great. Don't get me wrong. Some of these things are great, but they're not a way to heal the damage in your heart and your brain. They're good for that moment. When you drink, okay, fine, you feel great. When you smoke, okay, you're relieved, you're elevated to another state of mind. When you have sex, you feel like, ha, that woosah moment. But those things only last for a moment. When we're talking about mental health, it's maintaining the mind. Because the thing is, you never want your brain to take over. Because when your brain decides to take over, that's it. So, yeah, when you're in that place, you're vulnerable. Your mind has taken over, but a part of you is still fighting. And I won't lie to you, like, when you read that book, you realize the heart is fighting with the brain. The heart is like, no, we need to hold on. Like, it's crazy to me how the mind and the heart communicate during those crazy times. They really go into it. And you just have, once you learn those things, then you understand, oh, okay, so this is why I'm doing this. And then when you go to therapy, and then you realize a lot of your childhood is just your adulthood. You experienced your childhood in order for you to actually act it out in adulthood. And it's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
In adulthood, you're expected to be a parent. You're expected to be a coworker. You're expected to be a partner or a friend. It's much harder. And so, yeah. And even for me, I'm having to walk away from relationships that I thought would last for so long. And in this moment, I'm like, I'm not getting mental peace from this. I need to get out. And it's okay. It's okay. And I know the human condition is meant to hurt. You are meant to suffer. Like, I know that sounds very cliche and kind of like not okay to say, but it's true. Like, suffering has to happen in whatever shape or form in order for you to come out of the other side. And it's healing is not a linear, you know, a linear thing. You're going to go to a therapist and think shit's great. I'm done with therapy. And then you're brought forth a situation whereby you're like, oh damn. I got more shit to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That is, wow. You know, when you hear something and you really like, I won't say it shocks your bone, because personally, like, you hear people kind of speak about their experiences, but it's not in as much detail and it's not really specific. Mm. And I always wonder, like what's going through their minds. And I think it's very valid, because it's also like when people kind of get angry and say a lot of things, is that when, like, there's so much, like, I won't say the word noise, but there's a lot going on internally. Mm. It's like you can't even comprehend, and you almost, because I was reading a book or a devotional that I was speaking about when you're going through, is that what we should, not even when you're going through, just on a normal day, what we should do is we often build monuments of the bad moments in our lives. Mm. And that's why when kind of shit goes bad, we kind of go back to, oh, last year this happened. But what we should do is build like monuments of the good things, so that once those things are like firm in our heads, when something goes wrong, we can go back and say, you know what, it's not so bad because this other thing happened.
Yeah.
And that's all well and good, but it's like, what's about people that go through situations that, you know, like, there's, you can kind of say, like, yeah, there's no good moment. Like, the last good moment was when I was 6 and now I'm 30. It's like, that's 24 years ago, mm. You know? And I think to kind of end this, like, what do you think we need to do better to pay more attention to our mental health personally and as a society collectively?
Yeah. Checking in with yourself is the most important thing that you can ever do. When you wake up in the morning, we're all quick to check our phones, right?
Yeah.
We need to, like, okay, look at the day, whatever you have prepared for the day in your mind. But I think getting some time alone to process that, okay, this day is going to be looking like this, right? Then before you sleep, check in, like, how did I feel today? What were my interactions with people? You know, like, I'm going to reflect on this podcast because we're filming it before, a few hours before I sleep.
Yeah.
But I've had to go through a lot today, you know? Like, I've had to go through a lot today that I didn't expect to go through a lot. There are some decisions I made today that I didn't think I would make. So I have to be like, okay, how did I feel about this? And once you reflect, you have to be okay with the messiness of it.
Yeah.
Whether you felt icky, whether you felt great. Like, if it was great, feel great. If it was bad, feel bad. Don't wallow in that moment. But I guess you can ask yourself, how do I make it better? And there are those situations whereby, like, I'm learning to learn, like, with mental health, even with, like, suicide. I was always prone to suicide because, one, I felt very lonely and I felt like I was a failure. But, two, like, I always wanted to control things I cannot control. Yesterday, I was texting with, like, a big activist back in my country.
Yeah.
And he's on vacation, so I'm very understanding to the fact. But I needed his response on something, so I had to call him, and I felt bad about it. But then I was like, I hope you're not upset. And he was like, no, I'm not upset. I'm just, like, I was already okay with how I had reached out in my mind. I was like, okay, you can't control, you tried it. But I was like, I'm going to be okay with whatever precautions come out of this, right? But then he communicated back, and I feel like, okay, shit's fine. All right, cool. Because I have a tendency to overthink things.
Yeah.
And I have a tendency to want things to be fine. But in retro perspective, I also have to understand, however I communicate however it comes out on the other side, it may be taken negatively, great, positively, or not the best way possible, right? So I think self-reflection, checking in with yourself, and even trying to understand, why am I doing the things that I do? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I feel how I feel?
Yeah.
And once you start doing that, it will be easy to understand your mind. And then that's when you start working on, how do I better myself? And there are so many books that can help, right? There are so many help books. There are so many books about growing. Jay Shetty is one of the best people I would, you know, if you're trying to grow and just open your mind, he's amazing. And just spend time with yourself, and not spend time with yourself in a way that's negative. Like, go out on walks by yourself, go run, cook by yourself, watch a movie by yourself. You'll be amazed. Like, the mind loves to be by itself sometimes, not processing things from other people, but processing things for itself.
Yeah.
And that's crazy to say, but whenever I run, I process so much for myself. I think of so many things that I want to achieve. I think of the bad things that may have happened. I think of the relationships I may have fostered and affected. Like, a lot of things happen during my run. And it's only a 30-minute run, but the brain is constantly, just working. So I think the little steps matter more than all this grandeur things that we can talk about. Because they're there. The resources are there.
Uh-huh.
But internally, I think it's a lot of self-reflection, and also just learning to be okay with the messiness. Like, we're taught not to be okay with our mistakes, but you know what? Be okay with them. They don't define you. And I will say that's like something I'm dealing with right now, because I was like, last week, I was like, why am I even doing CMBL? I don't deserve to be the leader of this organization. And then one thing happened and I was like, okay, I see the work that I'm doing. Great. So you will fall, you will fumble, and it's okay. It's okay not to be okay. I know that's so cliche, but it is.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I feel like this is it. We should have had more time, but I know you try to keep them short.
Yeah.
You know, my final words to anyone listening is that going through whatever you're going through, you are loved. You matter, you're worth it, and it's okay to go through these things. And I understand if you have to go through it through the dark right now, but just know when you come out and you want to seek help, there'll always be help, and there are people there willing to help.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please don't forget to like, share, and comment on this.